The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. Welcome to Money in Mission, here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where every week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. Do you ever wonder how the stuff you own and your money are actually helping you live out what you really feel called to in your heart? You know, there is so much peace of mind that comes when you sense that your money is aligned with your values and your convictions, as well as your financial goals. And there's just an amazing amount of stress and anxiety and everything that happens when that's not present.
That's right, James, but that's easier said than done. There's so much financial information coming at us every minute of every day. It can actually be overwhelming. Terminology, ideas and philosophies, various competing principles, and of course, financial products and services. Keeping all of this information straight can be downright confusing, possibly even scary.
That's right. Yeah. And when you're confused or scared, you simply don't make good decisions.
No, we don't.
And that can keep you from being all that God wants you to be, and it can hurt you pretty badly as well. Well, welcome to episode 23 of Money in Mission. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio. And each week in the first part of our show, we'll talk about some current financial events so you'll have a better understanding of what some of the terminology and events actually mean.
And then part of the way through the show, we'll get to our weekly puzzler. Now, a weekly puzzler is just a brain teaser, a puzzle, and we'll share that with you. And we don't know if the puzzle will actually be interesting to you. It's interesting to us most of the time.
Yeah, we're trying.
Yeah, we try. That's right. So, well, there was a lot going on this week.
Yeah, James, let's talk about it.
As we record anyway, you know, because we usually record a couple of days ahead of when this actually airs. But did you see this article that Starbucks is not Starbucks decided not to issue guidance. Like when I say guidance, I mean how much they think the company will earn in 2025. They decided not to issue earnings guidance for 2025 because sales are down. For their fiscal fourth quarter, they only sold a little over $9 billion of coffee.
Still a lot of coffee, right, Joe?
That's a lot of coffee to me.
Big cups.
Yeah, very, very big cups, right. But there's other Starbucks kinds of things, too. I guess bags of coffee you can buy in the store.
And the little food, pastry items.
Little food and pastry items. Those things are expensive.
They are.
Wow. But anyway, only a little over $9 billion. And on an annualized basis, though, their earnings were actually up for the year. Their earnings went up by 1%. In spite of the fact that transactions in Starbucks stores actually dropped by 10%. 10%?
That's not pretty.
No.
But they're earning more per transaction is what you're saying?
Well, actually revenue, sales. Yeah. So sales were up even though transactions were down.
Right.
Right. That can only happen because the price of my latte is going up.
It doesn't necessarily translate to profit for them, though.
Not necessarily, no. Right. So that'll be an interesting story to keep an eye on. And kind of on that same vein, I mean, you know, transactions drop because consumers are not buying as much. We've talked about the impact of inflation. So guess what else consumers are buying less of?
What's that?
Processed potatoes.
Lamb Weston.
Yeah.
That's right.
French fries.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Lamb Weston is the largest manufacturer of processed potatoes, I think, in the world. Really, really large company. But again, that translates into French fries, right? And same store sales, traffic at McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's and where else could you? Oh, Five Guys.
Mm-hmm.
I love Five. Okay,
they're pricey too.
yeah, they're pricey too.
But good.
But anyway, but
so with all these orders and transactions going down, they must be having to lay off some workers, I assume.
Well, that was the story. Yeah, that Lamb Weston is laying off 10% of its workforce and actually closing down a plant here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, shrinking, really.
Sure.
You know, are we in a recession? I don't know.
Sometimes it feels like it.
It feels like it. When you see stuff like this, you know, coming along, it feels like we're in recession.
But they're not the only company, right, announcing layoffs. We ran across a little document here that kind of forecasts some of the other companies that announced some layoffs going on in October of 2024. What are your thoughts on that?
Right. Well, these aren't forecasts, though, are they?
No, announcements.
These are announcements.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a forecast is one thing. Hey, we're forecasting. We're going to have to lay some people off. But an announcement is, guess what? We're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So Boeing.
Most notably, yeah.
Boeing, the most 17,000 people are getting laid off.
That's, yeah, I mean, it's only 10% of their company, but they're such a large company that 17,000 workers.
That's enormous.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon, what's going on over at Amazon?
They're laying off workers as well. I think almost close to 3,000. But I think one of the things that shocked me is they plan to let go of 14,000 managerial positions by early 2025.
14,000. So. So
there's some real shakeup there in their
definite
hierarchy.
Definite shrinkage going on. Well, I suppose this artificial intelligence thing is just getting to be bigger and bigger. Amazon probably has a lot of automated things going on.
Without a lot of that overhead of the managerial expense, they're trying to streamline some of those processes.
Possibly. The interesting thing to me, though, is that if you have fewer sales, then you have fewer workers. That means there is less payroll, and that means there is less payroll tax being collected.
Mm-hmm.
So there's less payroll tax being collected.
That's not good for the government.
That is distinctly not good
for the
government. But still, deficits are increasing, and we seem to be still be spending money.
They're not putting the brakes on the spending.
They're not putting the brakes on the spending.
But the brakes are being put on in some of these companies, and they're feeling the pressure.
But there's less revenue coming in. It just amazes me that the principle of living within your means and spending less than you make, it seems like it should apply not just to people and businesses, but governments too.
Absolutely.
I would think that would be good advice all across the board.
I think smaller local governments have more of a grasp on that. Because they're limited with their taxpayers and their issues are more localized. But when it's the behemoth like the federal government, how do you start eating that elephant at this point?
Yeah, eating that elephant.
Yeah.
That was
the saying is one bite at a time.
One
where do you start at with this?
That's right. Yeah, where do you start? I mean, elephant's a big thing. It's like one bite. That's like, you know, the massive sandwich. Like, where do I start with this one?
Fork and knife.
That's right. But you know, so we joke about that. But this, you know, all these little things, they keep coming around the mulberry bush, so to speak, and then it lands right at home. Somebody we know got laid off or whatever. Mm-hmm. And collectively, that's thousands and thousands of people who simply have less money to spend. And in an economy is just a series of transactions, and people have less and less money to spend, then the economy shrinks.
Mm-hmm.
In spite of the fact that we hear that it's very, very strong.
Yeah, and one notable here on the paper was, I know a few weeks in the past we talked about, you know, store closures, the Dollar Trees, the CVS. Well, I also noticed that CVS announced 2,900 jobs will be let go. They announced that in October. That only equates to about less than 1% of its workforce, but that's still 3,000 folks that are going to have to find a new way forward.
That's right, because if Boeing is at 17,000 and CVS is almost 3.
Amazon 3, 14 plus their managers.
See, 17 and 3 is 20, and 3 more.
There's
23,000.
43,000.
And then 14,000 more.
47. 47. Mm-hmm. I see Nokia, 2,000. ByteDance, 500. Airbus, 2,500. So Airbus and Boeing.
Yeah. I also saw another article that there was an Egyptian airline that filed for bankruptcy.
Too. Egypt Air or a different one?
It was a different one. I forget the name of it. But... Yeah, but so.
General Motors, 1,700.
Wow, General Motors. Mm-hmm. But General Motors, what does General Motors make? Don't they make Chevys?
Yeah.
I mean.
Mm-hmm, they sure do.
Anyway, and they're laying people off, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing runs like a Chevy. They didn't pay me to say that either. I just like Chevys.
And I guess another note here, I was taking a look at the housing market slowdown. I know we only got about a minute and a half, so I guess we'll just touch on it. But looking at this chart, even though the Fed raised rates by 50 basis points last month.
They cut rates. Yeah.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Yep. But now it seems that mortgage rates are starting to creep back up. Close to 7% now. And existing home sales has fallen for 14 consecutive months.
Right. Wow. Yeah. So the Fed cut rates, but it doesn't seem like rates are really going down.
Right.
That's an interesting topic. It would be really tough to describe that on the air. It'd be even so much easier if we could like draw this on a whiteboard.
Well, you got 55 seconds. See what you get. No, I'm kidding.
Let's make a whole segment out of that.
Yeah.
And just talk about why we think that might be happening. Maybe we'll put that on for next week.
Okay.
That sounds like a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So housing market is slowing down. Clearly, I mean, again, people need money to spend if they're going to spend money on houses. And if the
housing market slowed down, these companies are starting to slow down and layoffs.
That's right. So you can just kind of feel that everything is just slowing down in spite of the fact that we keep hearing that we have this robust economy. Mm-hmm. The numbers do seem to be saying something a little bit different.
Yes, yeah. Indeed.
So we just encourage our listeners, you know, live within your means. Keep an eye on your own budgets.
Yes, that's great advice, James.
And we're out of time.
We're going to take a quick break and hear from some of our supporters. And when we come back, we will pick up where we left last week with part two of the Eternity Portfolio. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about
wealth management.
Wealth management.
Built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles.
Thank you, Eric.
No worries.
You need to like stop sliding notes in front of me so that I don't forget what I'm saying. That's right. But anyway, it's wow, what an intro to a segment, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, last week we started covering the book, a book called The Eternity Portfolio. And we spent some time, if you didn't have an opportunity to listen to that episode,
go back and listen to it.
Yeah. And I wanted to read a page or so out of that book here just to pick up where we left off. And because one of the things we talked about last week, we hinted at, you know, like how much should I give? How much belongs in an eternity portfolio? And,
mm-hmm. and some of the values that go along with that.
That's right. And
we got through chapter 4. So now this part 2, we're going to go through chapter 5 through 9.
That's right. But I'm going to do one of my favorite things whenever I'm reading a book. I always go to the end.
Mm.
Right, because I like to see where the book is headed. Joe's over here going, okay, I give up. Yeah, but
do you do that with fiction, too?
Okay.
Just ruin the story.
All right. Don't ask those kinds of questions, okay? But really, you know, we said a portion of any financial plan, like you allocate money for living expenses, and you have to determine how much you need for that. You allocate money for education, You allocate money for retirement, and you know you have goals set for each one of those.
Each has a purpose.
For each one, a purpose. That's right. For every one of those pieces of your wealth management plan, and the Eternity portfolio has a purpose as well. But regardless of whatever area of your plan you're working at, you have a conviction about how much you need in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And you've arrived at that conviction by doing some study. And so conviction dictates action, right? Conviction comes first.
Sure.
And then no matter what you do, it grows out of something that you believe. So I'm reading here from the Eternity portfolio. What you believe about investing determines how you invest, how much you invest, and how long you invest. And I'll kind of insert, it also dictates what you invest in and the why of what you're investing. So conviction starts with understanding truth, and it progresses to the logical implications of that truth. So if I believe that I need money for retirement, then I will be putting money into a retirement plan,
mm-hmm.
right? And again, that feels logical, but it's this values transformed into vision and carried over to action. It's that progression. The Eternity portfolio then is one of those progressions where I need to, first of all, develop the conviction that I want to be giving and I want to be allocating a piece of my wealth to kingdom principles. And then I have to translate that into a vision, and then I translate that into action. So it is a logical extension of biblical truth as it applies to our financial resources. But to make the jump from mere knowledge to a vision that generates results, you have to truly believe. You simply won't do anything about it if you don't believe what you're working on. So there are three convictions that are central to the Eternity portfolio. Three convictions. First, there is a relationship, and that is a relationship with God. So you probably won't be able to develop a conviction to do what God wants you to do if you don't have a relationship with God to begin with. I think that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm just letting you cook. Sounds good.
That's right. and this is where, you know, that relationship with God begins with a personal relationship through Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And God mm-hmm. draws himself to us like that. And then our life begins to grow out of that kind of relationship. It's a response, which is the second conviction, the second piece that first we have this relationship with God, and then that conviction brings to us the need to do something.
The response to God's love.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we do with our money, or the money that's been entrusted to us, is a logical, it mirrors what's going on, or it reflects what's going on inside of us like that. And finally, then there are rewards. God has used the prospect of eternal rewards as a motivator throughout his recorded dealings with people.
That's right. He rewards our faith.
That's right. The faithful manager that we talked about in last week in the first part of our episode there, the faithful manager was rewarded. And Jesus told that story for a reason, right? So nowhere is the progression from relationship to response to rewards demonstrated more succinctly than in that story, and, well, actually even the story of Moses, too, who did what God had called him to do. And in Hebrews, we read that Moses, by faith, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and decided on purpose to suffer affliction with God's people instead of enjoying the passing pleasures of sin. Hmm. And he looked to a greater reward. So we see that laid out in that way. So these are, you know, this is kind of a backdrop, if you will, for why we go about building an eternity portfolio or an allocation to an eternity portfolio in our own planning.
Mm-hmm. And I know last week where we left off with funding this eternity portfolio, and specifically we talked about how much is enough for now,
mm-hmm.
right? Those are your living expenses, your insurance, your taxes, money you're putting into retirements, and the money that's going into this eternity portfolio. But now we want to pick up chapter 5, where they talk about how much is enough, not just for now, but how much is enough for good? For good.
Yeah. So there's kind of a relationship, though, between how much is enough for now and how much is enough for good. I think you just said that, but I feel like I'm going to sit here and repeat what you just said. But when, you know, lining out and financial planning, again, it gets into risk management, like how much do we have for insurance? And of course, there are taxes to pay and other living expenses, et cetera. And so we've defined that. And now inside of that, we can allocate to giving. So that's a lot of times where we think about tithing, 10%.
Mm-hmm.
And but beyond the 10%, well, I guess one question is what, you know, suppose you sit down and do your budget and your heart of hearts, you discover that you don't really feel like you can make 10% work. Then what? Well,
give what you can.
Give what you can. Can you make 1% work?
Mm-hmm.
Can you make 2% work?
Or can you go dedicate your time if you don't have surplus dollars?
Right. So, yeah, we just say start somewhere. Get into that groove because, you know, God works with you where you're at.
And that's why he said that giving leads to more effective giving. Mm-hmm. So once you get involved and you start making those connections and you start being a joyful giver and feeling what that feels like,
mm-hmm.
you'll be called to do more.
And you get, there's a motivation, right? Mm-hmm. And it begins to feed on itself like that. So, but then how much is enough for good? The interesting thing that happens is...
And that would be the finish line, right?
That would be the
concept.
That's
for
right.
good. What do I need? What's enough for good from here on out? For good.
For good.
Right. That's not to right. do good, I don't think, but like for good, like time-wise?
Yeah. Yeah, how much is enough that is going to carry me through,
mm-hmm.
right? But suppose that, you know, again, God blesses with even more resources, more income, more wealth than what you ever imagined. Well, if you've got that, how much is enough? If you've got that laid out, then frankly, what goes to the eternity portfolio, what goes to the giving piece, conceivably could get bigger and bigger and bigger so that you would wind up finding that you are actually giving enormously more than you ever dreamed possible.
And once you set that finish line, that makes it real at that point, right?
It does make it real. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. It makes it completely real.
And it keeps you from taking unnecessary risks because you've already got it figured out. You've got your for now. You've got enough. You've figured out your finish line.
That's right.
So there's no reason to take unnecessary risks because you're not risking to get anything that you don't need because you're good.
That's right. So, you know, this kind of begs the question of what if I never get to the finish line?
Mm. Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah. You know, what if I never get to the finish line? I think this is probably the reason why it's important to build some of that eternity type mentality into the how much is enough piece,
mm-hmm.
right? Where the current the current plan involves some of that giving. Because if you're waiting until you, quote, get there, then you may never do anything
right
in that direction, in which case
you made no difference at all.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, again, there's a lot of soul searching that happens in this kind of conversation, and we really do we believe that each person should, in front of God, be making these decisions about where they are and what God has laid out for their lives.
And it brings up another good question that you can ask. What happens after I cross that finish line? It's a good question.
That is a great question.
But we're all out of time in this segment. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll pick up with Chapter 6, God's Asset Allocation. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And we have been covering or discussing through a book called The Eternity Portfolio. But we got so wrapped up in that we missed our weekly puzzler. We've done that for a couple of weeks in a row here.
I think we're just moving out to the next segment permanently for good.
I'm sure.
Like the book.
I don't know. We'll get it back. But, you know, our puzzle from last week was the question.
Yeah.
It was this question. This poignant question. Is that the right word? I didn't even look that word up. Where does today come before yesterday?
Where does today come before yesterday? Do you know, Joe?
I'm toying with this answer, but no.
Okay. No. Tell us, James.
Today comes before yesterday in the dictionary.
Womp womp.
Whoa.
Well,
it is.
And
I mean, you can look it up there. Okay.
That's pretty good.
I thought that was good.
Maybe we should just take a break from the puzzle for a while.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, let's do this week's puzzle. This one is, it has a neck, no head, but wears a cap. What am I?
It has a neck, but it doesn't have a head.
Mm-hmm.
And it wears a cap.
Mm-hmm. What am I? Well, if you guys know the answer or want to take a stab at it, go ahead and send us an email at radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil. And if you get it right, .com. And if you get it right, then we'll go ahead and read your answer on the air.
Yeah.
Well, let's just jump in.
Let's get back to the book
I think
here.
We left off at chapter 5, getting into 6.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, we were talking about, like, what if I never get to the finish line, and how much should be allocated to the eternity portfolio?
What happens after I cross the finish line?
What happens after I cross the finish line? Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's interesting. The question, I guess, that keeps coming to my mind is, what is it that is so special about money? Like, what makes money so special? If we're reading in the Bible, we hear phrases about our treasure, but and frequently sometimes we'll hear people talk about time, talent, and treasure.
I heard somebody reference money as fun coupons before. Yeah, they try not to stress and worry about money. He said, I just think of them as fun coupons.
Yeah. Unless you inherit money, you earn money through your time and talent, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's not easy. It's competitive out there.
That's right. So when you give money, you are giving time and talent.
Uh-huh.
And that probably applies here when we talk about allocating to the eternity portfolio. You can allocate money. And I think in the previous segment, you said that, you know, you could allocate time.
Yeah. If you don't got extra money to give, you can go down there and get hands on, help out.
Right. So, you know, I mean, if I'm giving to, let's say, an organization, my time at, you know, $500 an hour as a wealth manager, mm-hmm. what if they need a plumber?
Mm-hmm.
Like what I'm, you know, what I'm giving.
You working on that toilet for 2 hours.
That's right.
Isn't as efficient as you hiring a plumber and helping contribute that towards that.
I may
that.
Be better off giving them cash so they can hire the plumber instead mm-hmm. of watching me do whatever. We won't talk about that.
You'll have to watch some YouTube videos and take a lot. When a pro could just come in, knock it out for a fair rate.
That's right. Yeah. And so, you know, when there's a need that's, you know, kind of placed on your heart, or as you're planning and you're thinking about this eternity portfolio, you need to keep in mind are some of these needs, some of these places that I'm aiming money, am I better off aiming time and talent, or am I better off aiming money? Right.
And that's exactly what chapter 6 talks about. Mm-hmm. God's asset allocation. They talk about the where, the what, and the how.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that ties into exactly what you're saying.
I think I'm talking about the what.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. What is actually aimed in that direction? So
discipleship. You can, you know, teach and minister to needs.
That's right.
Provide resources, money. There's so many ways that we can help.
That's right. You know, Joe does an amazing job here of making this conversation sound like it belongs on the radio.
I'm sure it would sound a lot different if we were in charge.
If I was in charge, it probably wouldn't sound anything like that. So he's giving his time and talent in that direction. But there may be places.
To Holy Family Radio, that's right.
That's mm-hmm. exactly right.
And for ultimately the listeners. It's not just the radio station. It's what the radio station is doing.
That's right. That's right. So so again, you know, we think about the what. We know that there's money allocated in different pieces of portfolios. But that doesn't mean, I mean, that the eternity portfolio shouldn't have money allocated in that direction, but time and talent are fair game as well.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
The where then also becomes an important question to be answering in terms of where do those resources go?
Everybody will take them.
Everybody
will take your dollars if you're giving them. So it's important for us to search within, uh-huh. find our values, the other principles we've been talking about, because you can easily just give it away anywhere.
That's right. But when we kind of look to see how Jesus laid things out for his disciples, he said, go to Jerusalem and then Judea and then all the rest of the world. And we kind of infer from that it first of all makes sense to be taking care of your local church.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you are giving to your local church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually the book says that's a core investment.
That's a core.
Yep.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Your local church is a core investment.
That's right. So making sure that you are taking care of your local church is right at the top of that list. And after that, take care of Holy Family Radio.
That's right. They do many good things here, so they're always looking for support. And you can go on their website, 720whyf.com, and just read about some of the things they're doing, the events they have coming up, and who they're partnering with.
That's right. But Holy Family Radio, you know, again, if I structurally looked at what Jesus was talking about, Jerusalem and Judea, then, you know, if your church is kind of that first...
That's your Jerusalem.
That's your Jerusalem, that's
mm-hmm.
right. Then
that's cool. Yeah.
Holy Family Radio would be like your Judea. And there may be other things too, like some of the organizations we've had here as guests and some of the guests that we'll be having on in coming weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But those will be other charitable organizations, charitable efforts here in the area that you are able to give to and invest and support in that way.
So there's local, regional, and the whole world.
And that's exactly right.
And that's because God has a plan. He's always had a plan for the whole world.
That's right.
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
That's right. But, you know, for us, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania is our local.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for you, it might be...
Get down closer to Maryland.
Down closer
Southern
to
York
Maryland.
County.
Right. Mm-hmm. But you live out in the country.
I do.
So...
I go to a church called Fawn Grove Community Church. So they're doing great things too.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's my Jerusalem.
But there's no town where you live. I mean, it's just out there.
Yeah. A few miles away, there's Delta.
Okay.
But I'm kind of in, they call it the trails, the Susquehanna Trails.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
I like it.
So, but that's, again, you know, we aim our money in a direction like that, and there's a planned allocation in terms of where those dollars go and the effort that we put out as well.
Mm-hmm. So now what about in Chapter 7? They talk about making wise investments. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well.
And ultimately, the book tells us that we have to strive for accountability. I think that's important.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So an investment into a charity. Well, first, if we go back to saying that the time, talent, and treasure.
Mm-hmm.
Time, money, and
ability.
And ability like that may answer some of that question is, repeat your question if you could.
It's just striving for accountability, because some folks, they have that never look back mentality, right, when it comes to giving, and they just don't feel accountable. They feel like, well, I gave a little bit of money, so, you know, I think I'm doing the right thing.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of accountability, it's really looking at, well, there's several things to be looking at. One, let's say you're supporting an organization. Like, you know, when we committed time to come here and do this podcast at Holy Family Radio,
mm-hmm.
We wanted to know what Holy Family Radio's mission was all about. We wanted to know that there was some accountability here, that, you know, we weren't all just sitting here wasting our time. And
what the station's intent is.
And what the station's intent is.
And I think that might help with the accountability factor, is that you have to go back and remember what the intent of God is.
That's right.
That helps with accountability. And if you see yourself not on the same track, then
right,
you need to course correct.
That's right. And we've talked about, you know, again, we had Joy to the Berg here.
That was a good
on
one.
The podcast. And so if you are giving, if you're giving money, if you're giving time, whatever, you know, to Joy to the Berg, you want to understand their mission. You want to understand how they're actually executing on their mission, and that there's good accountability there as well.
And I like what the book talked about, the three initial screening factors to determine if an organization, you know, should be investigated further, whether that's worth your time, talent, and money.
Oh, so an opportunity comes up to be charitable and to be mm-hmm. giving, and you're trying to decide,
is this a good one?
Do I really want to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, you want to look at the leadership of that organization,
mm-hmm.
and are they inspiring? Are they mission focused? Right. Does that align with your heart? And
the book talks about a multiplying effect, right?
Like, what are they planning to do with the gift that they would receive from you?
Mm-hmm.
And
how effective will that be?
How do they take that and multiply it out into their sphere of influence as well? No, that's great. I mean, you know, that's something really specific that our listeners can focus on when they're trying to answer questions like, should I be supporting this particular organization? Look at the leadership, look at the mission, and how effective that organization is in multiplying the effect of the gift they would receive from you.
Mm-hmm. No, that's good. Well, we're out of time in this segment. When we do come back, we're going to go into Chapter 8, Passing the Baton, and talking about a legacy that outlasts us. So don't go nowhere. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720. And we talk every week about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical principles and wisdom. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And we have been discussing and covering a book called The Eternity Portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
This is an amazing book, And if you have an opportunity to, you know, hop out to Amazon and get a copy yourself, I think you'll find some really helpful ideas and principles there in that book. Well, you know, we only have, you know, 12 or 13 minutes here as we take out this episode today, and we've talked about where the eternity portfolio, where giving should go, and a brief checklist for evaluating when there are charitable opportunities that can, you know, present themselves to us, how we can evaluate whether or not that's a good opportunity. And I think we want to get to like chapter 8 in the book where,
mm-hmm. the legacy.
That's right. We're talking about, I want to just note one thing before we get to that legacy. And that is, when you're looking at an investment and evaluating an investment, that there are 5 P's to keep in mind: purpose, people, philosophy, process, and performance.
Mm.
Right? What is the purpose of the investment? Who are the people that are running the investment? What philosophy do those people bring to the table? And how do they implement that in their investment? What process do they use very specifically in making that investment work? And how have they performed? Right. So those five points really are important in any specific investment.
And we do the same in our firm.
We do.
Picking funds and different stocks and holdings. We go through a very, very similar process where we look at all those metrics and determine whether or not this would be a solid holding.
That's right. It's always important to remember that no matter your due diligence, that there's risk in everything you do.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So there could always be an outcome that you weren't expecting, meaning you could lose money. But especially in this context of an eternity portfolio, we are, at this level, trusting our investment to God, right? We're mm-hmm. doing this. We're doing this because He has commanded us to do it. And now we have faith and confidence that when we allocate in that direction, that He's also part of that planning. So we can't control whether investments gain or lose, but we do that in confidence because we know that's what He called us to do.
So let's talk about what the book describes as the greatest opportunity.
The greatest opportunity.
That's a powerful statement.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what they're talking about there in the book is leaving a legacy or a living legacy as opposed to leaving a legacy. So a lot of times folks will get into this legacy planning, and it's described by the financial community as estate planning.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a number of things that are really important to have be a part of that legacy or estate planning if we want values to be communicated, not just financial stuff, right?
Yeah.
The things that endure over time are probably the things that you could never buy with money to begin with.
Lessons to be learned. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right. So we believe that a living legacy or an effective legacy begins with communication, and it involves communication between you and the people who at some point will be picking up the baton, meaning you'll be passing stuff that is currently in your name to them.
And potentially your mission. Mm-hmm.
That's right. But certainly the purpose and hopefully some of the vision that you have. And that involves communication. You need to also be an example of what you're talking about.
Sure. Absolutely.
Right. So if you talk about how important it is to, you know, be involved with making sure that people have enough to eat and addressing, you know, food insecurity and the mid-state, but you are always on your boat, you know.
And people see that and they recognize that.
That's right. They say, you're not doing what you're talking about here,
and
right?
Your legacy will not last so long.
That's right. It's not that there's anything wrong with boats, but, you know, if it doesn't align with what you're talking about, then your actions need to be in alignment.
You're rowing away from your values.
That's right. So your example and how you live needs to be congruent if you want the folks that are coming along behind you to actually pick up and carry on with what you're trying to translate to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then that is also learned by experience.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, and let me just kind of give you an example. And I don't know if this was in the book, the Eternity Portfolio or not, but let's say that you know, you really would like to have your grandchildren pick up and learn and have an opportunity to be impacted by mission work, let's say. Well, some of your assets could be aimed in the direction of helping them fund a mission trip. And they would then have an opportunity to engage in some mission project, and you would have funded it, and that makes something happen now, but it also gives them an opportunity to catch a vision and learn from experience.
Mm. Yeah.
Planning your children's inheritance, of course, but again, I mean, we said this all the way in episode number one, I think, that inheritances tend to just fizzle out.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
People receive inheritances, and 5 or 6 years later, the inheritances are just usually gone.
Mm-hmm. They weren't tracking it, had no purpose for the money, no plan of where they wanted to go in their life.
That's right. Yep. So your communication to your heirs, and you're helping to get them engaged in learning by experience and watching your example, the more of that that you can build into life now,
mm-hmm.
the greater the possibility is that when they actually have received stuff from you, that they will be continuing the vision and continuing the conviction that you had. Mm-hmm. This is unfortunately something you can't just write this into a will. This is life that needs to happen. And you should have a will, you should have your estate planning documents in place, and you should work with a good attorney to make sure that happens. But none of that can replace the personal experience.
Absolutely, I agree. And I see that we're getting down to the last few minutes here of our show, so...
Time goes so quickly.
Eternity is long, though.
That's right.
We said earlier. But so let's... Chapter 9, they talk about the 7 golden keys to investing for eternity. Let's touch on those before we wrap up.
Yeah, so we've talked already about the conviction principle, mm-hmm. and that is just that, you know, there must be conviction if anything is going to happen.
And just a little foreshadowing, these 7 golden keys, there are 7 principles.
Mm-hmm.
So each one is a different principle.
Right. The communion principle, and that is that understanding without regular ongoing time spent with God, we can't know his specific will for our lives.
Mm. That's right.
So, you know, if you're sitting out there wondering, you know, what's God want me to do?
Ask him.
That's right. But you need to be spending time with God. And the church has some, you know, programs specifically, I mean, devotionals and different, you know, different specific disciplines that you can do to be in communion with God.
Mm-hmm.
The conduction principle, and that is God's big plan for giving, making sure that we're following God's plan, not just whatever comes into our head.
Mm-hmm.
What is this combustion principle? Sounds like, you know, something that I would put in my car.
Yeah. Well, that's what it was, the one to talk about, the big growth, right? The multiplying effect. So you look for investments that result in exponential growth for the kingdom of God.
Right.
Exploding your investment.
Exploding your impact.
That's right.
That's right. Leveraging that out. like the ripple effect in a pond.
Mm-hmm.
The compassion principle, that is just remembering the needs of the poor along the way. Don't forget that. The connection principle, and that's just the intersection of our personal life, our personal life mission, I should say, the intersection of that with our giving. And that really is probably one of the most powerful experiences that anyone could ever have, where their own, you get to see living in action your own mission because you were able to give.
Mm-hmm.
So something that is truly near and dear to your heart coming to life because of the tangible things you were able to do.
Yeah, where they intersect. That is powerful.
That's right. And finally, last but not least,
the consecration principle.
Mm-hmm.
That is the convergence of our life into the image of Christ. And that's very important. We should all strive to be exactly like Jesus.
That's exactly right.
I mean, it's not possible. We're all sinners, but mm-hmm. the more we can do every day to be a little bit more like him, we'll be better off every day.
That's right. And every little action we take, every little action that we take is an opportunity, again, for God to be molding us and teaching us. And so we want to be making sure. We just encourage you, again, to get the book, The Eternity Portfolio.
Illuminated. Mm-hmm. The Eternity Portfolio Illuminated.
And, you know, start taking some of those action steps.
And who's that by again? Alan Goddard?
Alan Goddard.
Mm-hmm.
Is the author, and the book is not that expensive. It's $10 or $12 on Amazon. So, but thanks for joining us here. And again, you're listening to Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Christ Community Catholic. You're listening to Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Nourishing our Catholic family, sharing our faith with others.